This is the Talking Split Podcast.
Welcome, coaches and players, and we'll get to that in a second, to the Talking Split Podcast. I am Rob Calder with you each and every week. With me this week, the lady that has 99 thoughts but can usually only remember one, Jenny Screen. Welcome to the podcast.
Let's see if I can do that consistently for two podcasts in a row for you, Rob.
Did you remember the second point from last week?
Yeah, I did, and I was going to message you, and then I forgot it again. So it'll come back to me.
Excellent. By about week five into this, we'll get both thoughts out of Jenny. And the man who is usually MVP of Movember, but has probably gone early for maybe Beardcember at this point, Nathan Cooper-Brown. Welcome to the podcast, Coops.
Good to see you guys. Thanks for having me.
No problem. So, Coops, you've got Vic Country Trials kicking off this weekend in Bendigo. What is the deal with these?
Yeah, exciting time. Finally back on floor, and you know, hopefully we've got a lot of athletes listening to this either prior or in the car heading out to our Gold Nugget camp. So this weekend's about our 14s and 15s, and it's really their kind of their first adventure into what we're doing. And the 14s is about identification and getting them exposed to style of play and building some habits and skill base. And then the 15s, this is their first chance to explore potential state selections. So we are setting up for our Country v Metro Challenge, which is our new event on the calendar to offset some of the disappointing tournament losses due to COVID. And so in early January, where the Country guys take on the City Kids, and we use an interstate kind of live-in tournament to help prepare our kids for what's ahead. So it's an exciting time. Especially for our Country athletes.
Excellent. Good to be back on the floor. So as I alluded to earlier, and as Bruno Mars said, players only today. So this is for the athletes out there. Coaches, you can obviously still listen. That's not a problem at all. But what we're going to look at with trials being on at the moment for everyone. So Jenny, you'll start yours fairly soon for the Metro kids to coincide with the Country ones as well. But also, this is a crazy time of year. VJBL trials are on. It's mayhem. There are people running around to 15 different stadiums trying to check in, wait out in the car park before they can get into the stadium. Coaches trying to pick teams. It's a difficult one. So this is a tough time of year for everyone. Timing may not be great, given there was a couple of associations that have already picked their teams and ran trials last weekend, and I appreciate those people that yelled at me on email during the week saying that, you know, we ragged on them last week on the podcast. Apologies about that. But it is a case of this is going to be a difficult year for everyone. So we have spoken at length about what coaches can do at trials to help pick their teams, but today we're going to look about the success of the players. What can they do to make the team they want to do or to get to where they want to get to? And it is going to look different for everyone. Not everyone is trying to make a first team. Someone's just trying to make a team. Someone might have made a third team last year and is trying to move up to a twos. You know, some kids are changing clubs. It's going to happen all over the place. So success is going to look very differently for everyone. So Jenny, you've been probably most recently at a trial out of the three of us. My trial days are well and truly over. Coops, similar deal. They were short-lived, but that's okay. You've been there at some point. Jenny, what are some of the things that players can do before their trials to get ready for them?
Well, obviously, it's really hard to put the normal preparation in considering we're coming out of COVID. So obviously my answer will be reflective of a COVID kind of comeback rather than just the general kind of, yeah, I got trials again. So for me, it's just making sure that hopefully some of these kids, the ones that really, really want to engage and try to make their top team in their VJBL teams, is to be a little bit fit, ready going into the trials. And ultimately that's up to the kids. You know, you could either sit on your backside and do nothing, or you can put your shoes on because there's lots of grass and pavement around in Australia that you can go and try and get fit and aerobically, you know, support yourself for the trials that are coming. I know most clubs are trying to be respectful of the return to the kids. So one would be fitness, but obviously you can't get fit in 24 hours. So please don't go out and run 5Ks, 10Ks or whatever, thinking that's going to benefit you for your trial tomorrow. It's not. Don't worry about it. And then secondly, I think is the mental aspect. And it's always hard in a trial. It's similar to going to school and doing exams, is the pressure that we put on ourselves intrinsically. And I think that the biggest focus for any kid that's listening that is going into trials, whether it be VJBL or state trials coming up for Country and Metro, is to remember why you play. You haven't played for pretty much the last 2 years or sporadically, and come back to why you started playing the game. Remove the expectation. Yep, your goal could be to make the ones team or make the state team, but don't hold the expectation to that goal. What the expectation should be is like, I'm going to go into this trial and I'm going to enjoy myself. I haven't been able to do this, you know, respectively, let's just talk lockdown six, for the last 5 months. So enjoyment should be the number one factor for all these kids, is that they just get to go back into a stadium, hear the balls pounding, feel the swish when it goes in, be around their teammates. So that's where I want the psychology hopefully to be for these kids, is number one, enjoyment, and then obviously hopefully a little bit fit.
Well, I mean, I just heard the you don't need to go and run 5 and take 10K, and I've run with that. Like, I just won't be now. So that's really easy. But hopefully the athletes have been using the GameFit app with Core Advantage. You know, that's a free app that people have been able to use over these lockdowns as well. And it's probably as close as we can get to simulating a game type simulation anyway. But as you say, probably missed the boat if you're trying to do this tonight for a trial over the weekend as well, cramming for a test that may not go well. Coos, what about you? Is there anything before trials that you would be recommending kids get into?
Yeah, I mean, it's on the similar, the vein of kind of what Screeny said, but I guess what I can build on that is, you know, some things that you can do, you know, this close to trial or with less time is, you know, you could be rolling, you know, you could be stretching, you could be doing some things with your body. You can get, you know, a couple of really good nights sleep, you know, to set yourself up for success. You know, watch a couple of, you know, games and look at some players that you like to emulate and just get into a feel for, you know, how you want to perform and, you know, the reasons that you enjoy the game. You know, there's definitely those little things that you can chip away at. Yeah, and then I think too, kind of mentally, that you can remember too, is what are you good at? You know, just a little bit of self-evaluation around, you know, just remembering what you're good at. Yeah, giving yourself that little bit of self-confidence around, you know, remembering who you were before COVID. You know, what are some things that you've invested in? You know, you've done ball handling for 5 minutes every single day in lockdown. Oh, I am a good ball handler. I'm going to go out and I'm going to enjoy handling the basketball and add to that enjoyment factor that both you guys were talking about. And again, just, you know, kind of controlling the controllable to give yourself every opportunity, you know, across your tryout phase.
Can't believe that neither of you went with like the lowest hanging fruit, or in my case, the lowest hanging pizza. Like, get shots up before the trials. Like, you got to get them up. Like, this is, you can't be walking into a gym for the first time and saying, gee, I hope this goes well. I haven't shot the ball in 2 or 3 weeks. Like, go get some touch and get back amongst like being on court. I mean, that's one of the biggest things that our kids have probably missed a lot is competitive reps and shots and those kinds of things. You can't go in and just brick everything and hope that everything goes well for you. Go get shots up. Well, you can, but you better be an all-world defender. Like, it's not going to go that well for you. So get shots up.
Well, Rob, like my golf game, is that first session back after a long break, you always shoot fantastically. So let's hope that that's the case here, that all the kids that haven't done it, they're just going to go out and shoot the lights out and go from there.
I hope they've got some coaches that are not doing the work and just evaluate them on session one, because session two and three could go the other way. That could be a disaster more than anything else. If you're new to a club, find out a little bit about the club, like what style they run, who the coaches are, find out those kinds of things so you know what you're trialing for. I think it is a really important area as well. And prepare the bag for when you go. That's one of the biggest things. Like, yes. Jenny, talk me through it. What have you got?
No, yes. Pack your shoes. I was at my first nationals in Ballarat and under 16s with Queensland South, and I was the captain. And first game, we were like the curtain raiser game, and I think playing Vic Country. And We had a team photo beforehand and then we're getting ready and I went to put my shoes on and I only had one shoe. I literally shit myself. Not only was I in the team, I was the captain, and the fear or the anxiety I had of having to tell my head coach, who was in the Air Force and, you know, pretty stern, but a great guy and still a friend of mine now to this day and a mentor, but Brian Laurie was his name, or is his name, he's not dead. And he made me warm up. He almost didn't let me play. He thought that was just so inappropriate and that I wasn't prepared for the game because I didn't have my shoes. So my manager had to run back or drive back quickly to where we were staying, which was a bit of a distance in Ballarat. And I had to warm up with one shoe on. And I shat myself the whole time. Finally, the shoe came and I was put on, thankfully. But I'll never forget that. And from that moment on, I always get someone else to check my bag that I've got two shoes. Not me, someone else.
Look, it makes a lot of sense in all honesty. So, I mean, that is, and it sounds dumb, but always do it the day before. Like, you don't want to be trying to throw everything in the bag as you're walking out the door. Some of the things you absolutely need, probably two drink bottles. Like, you don't want to be that kid that says halfway through the session, can I jump off court to go and fill my drink bottle? Go and get two. Make sure that's done. Little jelly lollies. Look, you can have them, you can not have them. Doesn't really make a massive amount of difference. Jenny's rolled her eyes at me as I've said that. You know, have an apple. You know, you could do that too if you really want to. Tape. So if you do tape or anything like that, make sure that's always in there. Really dumb thing, but I've always been telling kids to do this. Spare pair of shoelaces. Like, you don't want to be that kid that rolls in there, goes to tighten the first one, and all of a sudden it comes off in the hand and you're sitting there going, well, now what do? I've got no. Always have spare shoelaces in the bag.
And hair ties.
Hair ties, definitely.
For both boys and girls, because predominantly a lot of the boys have mullets now and I'm sick of seeing them, so they need to be put up. Because girls can't play with their hair out, so boys shouldn't be able to either. But hair ties, the amount of girls that come up to me going, I broke my hair tie, can you have it? And I end up just giving them mine. Hair ties is another one.
Not an issue. We faced all that often, Coops. Very rarely do people ask for our hair ties. reversible singlet goes without saying, like making sure you've got a light and a dark. And for those curious, light is white or yellow and probably not much else. It's not reds because your other colour is black. It's not oranges because your other colour is black. Light. It has to be light. And darks, like navy blue, black. You need to be in those. Have a reversible singlet. Is there anything else we've missed?
If you don't have a reversible singlet, two T-shirts.
Yep.
A white T-shirt and a black T-shirt.
Exactly. Yeah.
It does drive coaches mad, guys and girls that are listening. And the last thing you want to be on tryout day is the problem child. So if you have all these things, it's just going to help you.
The only other thing I'd suggest, maybe, because, you know, a lot of these kids' feet aren't going to be used to 2.5, maybe 3. I don't know what these clubs are doing, but is a spare pair of socks. I'm tipping there's going to be a lot of blisters coming up in the next couple of weeks. So, you know, a good quality socks, one, some Band-Aids, two. And three, an extra pair of socks in case you need that extra cushioning, because no doubt most kids are going to be also parading some brand new shoes that they haven't worn either. So breaking in your shoes would be a good idea before your first session.
That goes for coaches too. I jumped on court last weekend for the first time in new shoes and there was a raging blister on the heel, which did not go well. It's been a rough week, unfortunately, on the Rob's end. if that's the worst thing that's happening to me, I'm tracking along okay.
Are we considering arrival time as part of our pre, or am I stepping on the next section?
Well, you are, but that's a good bridge. It's what we call a segue in the podcast world, Coops. So you've done very well there. What would you do with your arrival time?
I want to get there early, obviously. I don't want to get there too early and burn myself out and kind of overdo it. But showing up early, excuse me, not only to get my body and my mind right, but also to demonstrate to the coaches that, you know, I have elite habits. You know, I do arrive early. I understand how to prepare. You know, I don't leave things to chance by, you know, arriving 5 minutes beforehand, lacing up and running out. So, you know, preparing, you know, you look, okay, maybe I'm trying out in a new club. We haven't driven there before. You know, and even if mum and dad are the ones that have to drive, you know, you can get on Google Maps and check that and make sure, okay, this is when I need to get up. This is when I need to get my breakfast in. You know, this is when I need to, you know, be in the car and ready to go. Yeah, there's some great stories around guys like, you know, Steph Curry in particular, you know, when he first started going to some of those bigger Nike camps and so on, and the impression that he made on the coaches around his pre and post practice habits or tryout habits around being there, getting ready, getting shots, are something that still sticks with these coaches. And obviously you can see where his career went on to.
Yep, absolutely. So be there on time is the big thing. Get a good warm-up in, Jenny. Like a lot of these people are probably going to be in the foyer before they're allowed to get on court due to numbers and all those kinds of things. What can a warm-up look like for them before they jump on court?
Hopefully with the ball in their hand, if they have the space to be able to do it. You don't have to be running with the ball, but just having the ball, dexterity, just getting the feel of it in your hands, running on the spot. You know, I'm a big fan of skipping. Obviously, if you're in a foyer, skipping with, you know, 100 people around you is probably not a good idea. But you can always do that outside. You know, body weight squats, lunges, lateral lunges, all those type of things that you would do normally. And I hope most people would have them in their back pocket. Bit of quad stretching, obviously, you know, we use them a lot. We sit through our hips in basketball predominantly, lower backs as well. Hip flexors are going to be irate in the next couple of weeks with us returning to play. So making sure you're just stretching out through your hips and especially through your quads, that would be the thing for me in terms of prep. And then also the mental side of it. When Coops, just one more thing, digressing back to Coops as being there on time, that means getting your parents organized. Yeah, because most of us won't have our licenses to be able to do that. And granted, parents have more than just you to worry about, but just making sure you're organized so that your parents are organized, because we know Melbourne traffic can be horrendous and you don't want to, you know, already compound your nerves by being late to a session. That would just be awful. So just, yes, you've got to be ready, but your parents also have to be ready. So just nudge them a little bit before you're ready to go. The other thing I want to talk about is just on the preparation side is the mental thing. I suggest having three things, just three simple things when you start to get overwhelmed potentially in a trial, or things aren't going your way, or you're shooting like, you know, not like your first golf session back, you're shooting those bricks and or you got beaten or it's just not clicking. Just have three things, whether you write it on your shoe or you write it on your wrist, or just have it somewhere written down in your bag that you want to do for the session. It could be just enjoyment is one. It could be I want to get after every rebound. It could be I want to be a great teammate. So showing the coaches, you know, that selectability. So think about three things. It doesn't even have to be three. It can be one or two. And when you're overwhelmed and there's a moment in the training where you're just like, oh, this isn't going well. Oh my goodness, I'm going to make the threes, not the ones. And you just start to panic and your mind starts to explode. Come back to it. Okay, take a deep breath. Why am I here? What am I trying to achieve? And what are those three things that I want to get done in this session? And if you do that, then the rest will take care of itself, regardless of you whether make the ones, twos, or threes. You'd have to be happy in your trial process.
Yeah. I think it's really valuable that you can have a bad trial. Like you usually have three or four sessions. You can have one bad day, and that's probably not going to be the difference between you making the team and not making the team, or whatever the case may be. You are allowed to have a bad day, and everyone expects you to have bad days at some point, especially at the moment. But control the stuff you can control. Like, so be the, sorry, Coops, I'm going to jump on this landmine before you get to it. Be the best communicator out there. Like, the one thing that coaches are attracted to normally is noise in the gym. Like, if you've got someone that is constantly talking and being upbeat and positive, coaches are attracted to that straight away, so that their eyes go to them all the time. Like the person that is constantly helping someone up off the floor or giving someone five. Although you might be trialing as an individual, you are trying to make a team. So try and be a good teammate. Like that's one of the skills that requires really zero skill set. Like that's something that everyone's able to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been in team environments or in selection environments and have been thinking about that 10th player and thinking about the shape of the team and being like, we kind of need a glue guy, you know, like who out there can really kind of, you know, bring the team together. Who is that kind of personality, that player that really values their teammates and all those sorts of things. And, You know, that's a skill set, and you can be showing that, and it comes back to the controllables. You know, it comes back to what Jenny was talking about, that this is something that I can have as part of my preparation, and my mindset is that I'm going to go there and I'm going to high five everybody. I'm going to be that sort of person. And I think that's really valuable. And then the other part of that, and I know we'll get into a little bit more when we talk about a little bit more during the trials, but I don't know how many times I've said to either other coaches in the room or maybe to parents afterwards or however, but I didn't notice them, you know, quote unquote, I didn't notice them. And if me personally at a session, if I don't notice you, you know, you're not bringing anything to this, you know, you're not bringing anything to this trial around your behavior, your skill set, your communication, whatever it may be. And that just comes back to exactly what you're talking about, Rob, is that, you know, it may be I'm going to be the best communicator. I have that confidence to use my voice, and I'm going to help that, you know, get me to the team that I want to get to.
So how do you get noticed then, Coops? Is that a case of brightest shoes wins? Is that the case of crazy haircut?
For Coops, it was the chains and the ghetto look back
big
in the
clock around here with 90. The gold. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah, more chains, the better. if you have any FUBU, Sean John apparel, I know I'm showing my age there, but...
you know, no, and any kid listening to that now is going, whoa.
No idea, yeah. Like, shut up, Coops. We don't know what you're talking about. You get notice straight away with your habits. You know, coaches notice those sorts of things. Like what Jenny was talking about, you know, are they prepared? Have they packed their bag? You know, I walk past, I look at a kid's bag. You know, I look, you know, how they're preparing themselves. I look at what shots they're taking. You know, then, you know, how are they using their voice? You know, if especially early on, if there's a lot of players and only one rim and maybe, you know, there needs to be a little bit of organization, is there an athlete out there kind of using their voice and their presence on the floor to help people get into some spots and get the thing moving? So, and then there's performance, you know, like, you know, what sort of demonstrations are you making around the performance? Are you doing some things that that are going to show the coaches that you can go the extra mile? Are you going to take a charge? Are you going to lay someone out on a box out? Are you going to do some things that, you know, physically they're going to have a coach kind of notice and nod and be like, oh, geez, you know, that's an important play. You know, that's something we value here at this association.
One of the things I think is super easy and would always encourage any athlete to do it. The second a coach jumps on court and says, can I have a demonstrator? Sprint your backside out there. That is the easiest thing you can do, because the coach will usually say, what's your name? So you get that little bit of interaction there. You get to screw it up, and you'll get individualized coaching to make sure that you get it right, so that when you go back to your basket, you are so much further ahead than everyone else. Don't be the meek and mild that sort of sits at the back and cowers and shies away from it. Sprint your ass out there and make sure that they have to coach you straight away, because that sticks. Like, it's a really easy one.
It's a great one.
I think it just shows being brave.
Yep. Super easy on that one. The other part is, I think, know who else is in the gym, but know what you are too. So like, if you're that distributing point guard, go and find the good scorers and see if you can sort of wangle a way to get onto their team for the scrimmages and go be that fantastic passer or whatever the case may be, because scorers we notice fairly quickly. Distributors, not always. People that make the extra pass, not always. So if you can be in those situations where, man, that kid keeps scoring, but that kid keeps getting them the ball, that's where you can let your skill set shine a little bit, because that can be at times missed. So find a way to do that. Now, if you're walking into a gym and there is a well-known best player that's in that gym with you, are you going and getting that matchup, or are you sort of trying to find a way to not be matched up on them? Jenny, this is your realm. I feel like you've got an answer here.
Well, yes, the competitor in me will always try and take the best kid in the gym. But that's just me personally, my own want to just stop someone. Not every person is like that. I guess it depends. It comes back to what are you good at and what are you trying to achieve. I think sometimes, you know, defensively, you're going to get beaten. I think that's, it's just like the same with shooting. You're not going to make every shot. So I think it's another point of bravery. Taking the best player shows a bit of courage and bravery that I'm putting myself out there. It may not work, but I'm just going to give it a go anyway. And I think coaches notice that. And that's really important. You know, you talked about scoring. There's one basketball and five people on the court at once. There are a lot of other things that you can show the coaches apart from scoring. And I know it gets drummed into you on the car rides there about, you know, you got to score, you got to get your points, you got to do this, you know, don't give it up. Every time you get it, make sure you're looking at the rim and you're shot first mentality. Yes, to a point. But I think it comes back to what other things you can give. And if that's one thing you can do, if you're not getting the ball much in a trial, then yeah, take ownership of someone defensively that you think is dominating in the trial.
Can I just piggyback on that point? Because it's a really good one, especially that specific situation, maybe getting beat, you know, defensively, like you step up, you want to go guard that player. A defensive non-negotiable in our program at BV is repeated efforts. And, you know, being beaten, let's say on the perimeter, and turning around and kind of throwing your hands up or throwing your head back to show the coach like, oh, I'm better than this. Oh, I made a mistake. Oh, I can't believe that happened. That's not the reaction that we're looking for. And it's definitely not the time for the reaction. You know, you get beat. It happens. You make mistakes. What sort of repeated effort are you making to get back in the play and keep fighting and being that competitor? And then maybe later on you might, you know, be a bit frustrated with yourself at the appropriate moment, but not then. And that's not the kind of body language and reaction you want coaches to see in that environment.
Everyone probably deals with it, the injured athletes who can't get on court for whatever reason. A couple of things they're really easy to forget about as coaches. So you need to be front of mind if you're one of those players. Go fill up other people's drink bottles, go help, go organise, go stand in the line. I mean, injury deterrent, of course. If you're in a wheelchair, don't do that. But if you're on, like, you know, a busted hand, go and stand at the back of one of the lines, be a talker, be an extra coach. Go and if they get into scrimmage, go and be with a team. Like, don't just sit out on that thing. Take notes. Like, grab a pad and a pen and take notes so that if you are back on court next week or whenever it is, we can see you want to learn as coaches. So really easy stuff that kids can do.
Look interested.
Well, that's a big one. There's nothing good on Instagram.
Even if you fake it, just look interested rather than the victim mentality. Oh, I can't train. This is woe me, blah, blah, blah. No one needs that around, and a coach definitely doesn't want that energy. So look interested even if you're not.
I like it. I like it a lot. So between trials, so we've got a session maybe in Coops, your situation where you've got a morning session, then you've got the lunch break, then you're coming back into the Arvo session, or VJBL world where it might be trial on a Friday, a Wednesday and a Friday coming up. What are some of the things you can do between those sessions to improve yourself?
It comes back to what Jenny was talking about earlier in terms of body and mind. You know, I think that obviously those are the two big ones, especially if it's like a country scenario and it's a break between sessions. Obviously, if you're talking about a gap between days, you know, maybe you have a week, obviously your skill development will come back into that time frame. But talking more specifically to the country athletes, I think, you know, straight away, how are you taking care of your body? You know, are you getting some rest? Are you stretching out some areas that may be a little bit tight? Are you hydrating? You know, are you eating the right food? You know, having the appropriate snack? You've got maybe 30 to 45 minutes. You know, I'm not going to eat something heavy. All those sorts of little things around, I'm just going to get my body right. I'm going to get the right rest. I'm going to find those little niggles. I'm going to eat. I'm going to hydrate. So again, I'm you know, feeling as best I can for that next session. In terms of mind, I'm a big fan of the Stoics. And again, the kids are not going to understand who I'm talking about, but they should. They talk a lot about journaling. And I think journaling is a fantastic strategy to help clear your mind going into the next session. So having a page in your player journal, or athlete diary, and just have, what did I do well and why? What can I do better and how? And just kind of empty your mind. Get it down on paper. You know, you get it out of your mind, you clear your mind for that next session, but you're also creating a resource that maybe between, you know, Saturdays, it's like, okay, what did I do well? Cool, I'm going to build on that. And what do I need to improve? Okay, I'll make sure I address that as well. So I'm also being accountable for my own development, you know, between those tryouts.
Yep, definitely. What would you be reviewing straight after a session, Jenny? Well, what would you look at that you could potentially change? And it can't be make more shots, obviously, but what are some of the other things that you would look at?
As a player?
Yep.
I think Coops has hit most of them on the head. I think it's to leave, don't hold on to the session is probably a big one, especially if you've got a session, another session the same day. A lot of the times we can hold on to something bad that's gone on in the session and then that ended up affecting the session that next comes. Learning how to just, that has happened, it is what it is, I can't do anything about it, but I can be better for the next session in those things I wasn't happy with. I think, you know, getting into that next mentality phase of, okay, it didn't work, now I'll approach it a little bit better, is where I would focus, especially on the same day. Another one, if you've got a session within an hour, obviously refueling is really important, and obviously not too heavy on the food. I do see a lot of kids eating a lot of fried food, each to their own, but that's not really going to sustain you energy wise. For the second session, a lot of chips, you know, hot or cold, a lot of Cokes, a lot of Powerades, a lot of sugar. That'll give you a hit for about 30 minutes. And then by the time the session comes around, you're like, oh my goodness. So just making sure the nutritional value of your food in between sessions is quite good. And sometimes that's not dependent on your parents. You know what is good or bad food. Okay. So how about you pack your own bags or make better selections at the canteen when it comes to those that in between time for sessions. Another one that's really simple, you know, when we train, we're in the sympathetic nervous system. So it's high heart rate. We're really alert. We're fight or flight kind of response. But we need to get back to homeostasis. So, you know, coming down and get back into the parasympathetic nervous system. Just even simple things like putting your legs up on the wall. I do it with the MPP kids at Metro every session. And I learned that from being in Europe. I used to think, what is this? This is stupid. But after a session, take your shoes off straight away. That's a lot of things kids don't do as well. Take your shoes off, let your feet become normal again, get, you know, grounded and connected, and then just whack your feet up on the wall and allow the blood to return to your heart, allow your heart rate to come back down, even for 5 minutes. Legs straight, of course, no bent legs, and just chill the F out for a second rather than rushing around is really important.
A lot of big words in there. I'll put the definitions in the podcast description for everyone. I like that you've waited till Ash went before you started dropping those. We had no chance if he was still around for those. And that's probably the nicest you've ever been about people's diets as well, Jenny. You're starting to mellow.
I'm trying, guys.
I like it. There's a big difference between player food and coach food. There shouldn't be, but there is a big difference between player food and coach food. So after the trials are done, so kids have been picked wherever they've been picked, what's the best thing that they can do from this point? It's, you know, sometimes they're happy, sometimes they're sad, but what are the things that you would be looking to do after a trial that can actually help you in the long term?
Yeah, look, feedback is the big one, and a lot of players are pretty understanding of that nowadays. But as I think we've discussed before on this pod and we discuss and coaches discuss quite often is, you know, the best way going about it. Big one for me is do your self-evaluation before you ask for feedback. You know, coming to the coach and saying, you know, oh, why didn't you pick me? You know, why didn't you pick me? What's the feedback? You know, have a think about, you know, how you trialed, have a think about, you know, what were some things, again, you did well, maybe need to improve. Can you be specific around the feedback? You know, oh, hey, sorry I didn't make this team. You know, is there still movement, you know, in the teams, you know, before this game? Is there, you know, areas that I can improve to maybe change my position or whatever it may be? You know, sending the feedback email, you know, from your phone in the car, you know, home from that last trial or wherever, it's too soon. Do the self-evaluation, have a good think about the questions you're asking, ask at the appropriate time, I think is a good place to start.
Most definitely. Anything else that you'd throw in there, Jenny?
Not just resting on making whatever team it is you've made, I think is really important. You know, you pat yourself on the back. Yes, I made the ones or I made the twos, whatever expectation you have or goal you've hit, but not just going, oh, all right, my job's done now. I can rest on that kind of situation. It's like, no, now the hard work really starts and having that mindset. And I think it's important to, well, I like to use the analogy of accept what is, but never surrender. So if you're not happy with your selection of what team you've made, that's okay. You're allowed to be disappointed or upset. But use that to your advantage. I'm going to work harder. I'm going to show this coach what I can do. I'm going to try and push to be better, to maybe potentially get an opportunity up in the ones or so on. And then if you're in the ones and you're fortunate enough to be in the ones, then it's making sure that you're doing everything you can to be, you know, a great contributor, earning your court time appropriately, not expecting the court time to just come. And then also, I always come back to being a great teammate. I think that's a very underrated skill or trait, I should say, to have as a player, is being a great teammate, because it's very, very far and few between these days in this great game of basketball. So, you know, that's probably where I would sit in terms of once you've made the team or not made the team.
Yep. And there's a bit of that love where you live about it. Like, okay, you might be in the twos, but make that the best situation it possibly can be for you. Don't sulk and pine every time you train with the ones and you split up and the ones go down one end and the twos go down the other end and you sort of look lovingly down there and go, I wish I was there. Bad luck. You're not. Like, move on from that. Go help your twos. And it's not changing. Actually, to be fair, it might at times. We've all seen selections where, and you guys have done it as well, where you've maybe cut a kid at a trial and then brought them in late, because things have changed. You know, what it was previously is not necessarily what it is now. Story time. I have absolutely changed selections previously. I know an athlete came in from another club who I wasn't sold on, but probably showed enough to make me sort of think, yeah, okay, we're going to roll with this kid instead of the tried and true, reliable kid that I already had there. And I took the new shiny toy instead of taking the reliable one. And 3 weeks in, it's like, geez, I've butchered this. I've made a really terrible decision. Horrible situation for me to be in, because I now have to ring up the other kid and say, actually, we've cut you back to the twos. But the only reason I can do that is because the reaction of the player that missed out was a really good one. Asked for feedback, took it on board. It's like, yep, got it. No worries. I'll work on that. And for the next 3 weeks was as good as we've ever seen him. Just had a sucky trial. So it can change. So your reaction to the disappointment can really impact on what comes next for you. Because if it's the blow up and the toys out of the cot, geez, we're not really dealing with those kids all that well in the future. So it's that move on mindset with now plan for what's next, because this will be your team for maybe 12 months and then it's it.
Yeah. And just be careful with the feedback. Like, I know that it's probably pushed and parents tell their kids to ask the coaches for feedback. But sometimes we only hear what we want to hear. And we don't want to hear what's probably necessary being told to us. So if you're going to ask for feedback, actually listen appropriately and then apply it to, you know, the situation you said, Rob, because a lot of the time it's like, yep. And in your head you're going, I don't agree with you. It's like, well, then why did you ask for feedback in the first place? Yeah. And then, you know, we go around in circles and we're still on the same spot. We haven't moved. And you just become more resentful as a player towards the coach. So I think, you know, even if you don't like the coach, and let's be honest, we all have been in scenarios or situations where we don't click with the coach, and that's okay. But you've got to learn to respect the coach, because at the end of the day, they're in charge of the team. So you've got to work out ways to get along, to understand, to appreciate where they're coming from, whilst trying to show them where you're coming from as well in a respectful manner. But just be careful with that feedback. You know, I want feedback, but do you actually want feedback? And just because you ask it, doesn't mean a coach thinks you're going to, you're doing the right thing. Go and ask for feedback. So then that, you know, they know you're doing the right thing, you want it. No, that's not how it actually works. I prefer the kids that just know that they're not good enough yet and they just go away and work harder.
Yeah, it's nothing without the work. You know, feedback is just words without the work. And, you know, I'll finish every trial camp we've got coming up over the next few weeks, telling the athletes and obviously addressing the ones that haven't made it, that the door is not closed. You know, that they're always being watched. We always have someone in the stadium that, you know, Jenny or myself or Zoe or Darren know. And it gets back to us really, really quickly in terms of, you know, where is that athlete and how they reacted to maybe missing out. And I really enjoyed last year as much as we could, or the last couple of years, is bringing in athletes later into our program, into the SDP, that have gone away and proved to us that they wanted it through their mindset, through their habits, through their work ethic and their development. And I think that's just such a great point that Jenny makes, is, you know, the feedback is nothing without the work.
Excellent. That does wrap us up. Shortest podcast ever. But we're working on the theory that players don't necessarily have the same attention span as coaches, in particular teenagers. So this is probably a good thing on their end as well. If they get to the 40-minute mark, they've done incredibly well. So, guys, appreciate you both jumping into this. Good luck with your trials as they're coming up as well. It is going to be an experience for everyone. What the kids looked like maybe 2 years ago isn't going to be what they look like now. So it's great to be able to get fresh eyes on these kids as well. So enjoy that. Coaches, thank you very much for listening. You're allowed to tune in again now. You're not segregated that poorly out of this. Coaches, we'll see you all next week. Best of luck with your coaching and good luck back on court this weekend. Look, tune in, enjoy the try on iTunes and Spotify.